This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Pets Allowed, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Joy's very own Pets Allowed, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home. Thank you to Leo for a fabulous morning of tunes and to Jim for the news. I'm Kevin, and joining me in the studio today is Dr. Alan Bolton, Senior Veterinarian of the Lost Dogs Home, Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic.
That's a very long title.
It is a very long title. Alan, how are you going?
I'm good.
You were with me last week as well, and it was your birthday. How was everything?
It was good. I went out for dinner on Saturday night. That was really nice. And then just had a quiet day Sunday because it was a really nice day.
Head out with the puppies.
Did, and did some gardening, just tidying up, and yeah, good. Back to work Monday.
Excellent. Now today we are talking all about therapy dogs and cats. Therapy animals are specially trained to provide comfort and affection in clinical settings like hospitals, aged care homes, disaster areas, and even schools. Now we want to hear from you. Do you have a therapy dog? Have you met a therapy dog before? Have, you know, any experiences that you've had with animal assisted therapy?
Have you been in hospital and been visited by a therapy dog?
That's right.
How did it make you feel?
Kid. Now, also coming up on Pets Allowed today,
we will be talking to Marilyn Butler. Now, Marilyn is a really valued client of the Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic. She's been coming in, I think, for as long as I've been working there. And she visits nursing homes every week with her dog, Bobby, who's a Maltese sort of poodle cross. So Bobby's a Delta dog, and we can't wait to chat to Marilyn, who will take us through Delta therapy.
Marilyn is coming into the studio to join us today, and we'll be bringing Bobby as well. So make sure you keep an eye out for that on our Facebook page and on the Joy Facebook page as well. You can catch us at joy.org.au and find out all the details for that. But we're also chatting to Elena from the Lost Dogs Home, who coordinates the program with Shelter Dogs, which also helps people with disabilities, as well as Cass, who is another staff member at the Lost Dogs Home, who with her dog Teddy had been visiting hospitals in the past as well. So it's going to be a very jam-packed show. We're going to talk as much as we can about different stuff, even about therapy cats too, maybe.
Yes, and it's, you know, if you think about your own life, it's obvious how much benefit you get out of dogs and cats, and it's great sharing that with other people when they really need it.
Absolutely, and it is, you know, sort of scientifically proven as well that all these things, but we'll be talking a lot about that throughout the show today.
Missed your favourite show? Head to the new Joy website and click on podcasts to catch up with the best Joy has to offer. Joy.org.au.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
Australia's most amazing gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're on Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. It is time for
the Pets Allowed News Wrap. A look at the news of the week from the Lost Dogs Home.
It is time to recap the news and events from last week of the Lost Dogs Home. You can check out all these stories and more on our website, dogshome.com. Now, this week, we did hear from the Doolan family, who fallen head over heels for their adopted feline Tigger. The 10-month-old tabby was adopted from the Lost Dogs Home Cairns Pasby shelter in Echuca, and she now spends her days living the life on a dairy farm, keeping everyone from humans to livestock entertained with their antics. Adoptee Joe told us it's quite funny to see a little ginger head peek up on the fence next to all the big black and white ones of the cows. That is great. You can see some pictures online at dogshome.com.
That sounds cute. Now, also, the Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic Slimmer Club is a new and free of charge pet Weight Watchers program at the Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic in North Melbourne. With the aim of arming pet owners with plenty of knowledge on their pet's dietary and exercise needs, the 8-week program will help you get your pet to shed any excess kilos. The first consultation will see your pet checked by a vet for any pre-existing conditions. You will then be given a target weight, a detailed exercise program to follow, and a diet specifically tailored to your pet. The clinic is also offering fortnightly weigh-ins to see how your pet is going.
Now, we did talk about pet obesity on the program last week, so if you're interested in finding out more, you can check out our podcast at joy.org.au/petsallowed. But we are going to go through a few of the things to think about now. So if you have any concerns about your pet's weight, Now, first off, it is important to look at their waist. So weight may vary from individual dog and cat. The best way is to have a look at their waist. Should be a bit defined and should be somewhat of an hourglass shape as well.
That's right. They shouldn't look like a barrel. Now, you also need to balance input with output. It's a good idea to keep a daily record of what you're feeding your dog and the amount of exercise he or she is getting. Keep a record and take this along to your vet so that your vet can measure the progress.
Now, we also know that, you know, dogs and cats like to sit next to us when we're eating dinner, but it's important not to give them too many scraps from the dinner table as well, because that will sort of add to that excess weight that they're putting on.
And I suppose it's worth remembering, just like with people, dogs and cats come in all different shapes. And keep in mind that cats, particularly those who spend a lot of time indoors, will get a bit flabby as they get older. So the fact that they've got a saggy belly doesn't necessarily mean that they're overweight. And certain breeds of dogs and cats are more at risk of putting on weight than others. So classically, it's Labradors and Ragdolls. Also at risk of obesity are senior and de-sexed female cats. However, it's easy to avoid this if you follow a carefully crafted diet and exercise plan.
Now, you may not think cats are the most sort of responsive to exercise, but there are ways to do that as well, and that's something we can help you out with. Also, look, if you do have any concerns about your dog or cat at any age, just contact your vet, take them in, or see your vet nurse as well. You can check that story out for more information on our website, dogshome.com. But right now it is time for
this week's Pet of the Week.
Every week we put a dog or a cat in the spotlight for our Pet of the Week. And Alan, who do we have this week?
This week we have Rex. Rex is about 2.5 years old. We've got him down as a Labrador cross, but really he looks a bit more like a Border Collie or a Kelpie.
Border Collie or maybe an Aussie.
He's tricolour, he's male, he's health checked, vaccinated, wormed and microchipped. He's really friendly, very sweet, and would be great for anyone looking for a new companion. As he's a working breed, he's going to need lots of exercise. So he'd suit someone who's into running, jogging, or just long walks. He really looks like he'd like to play football. He's got a white nose, so he hasn't got much pigment there. So if he's out and about, it'd be a good idea to put some sunscreen on there. He's at North Melbourne, 2 Gracie Street, North Melbourne, Victoria. You can contact the shelter on 9329 2755. And his ID number is 950244.
Thank you for that, Alan. You can check him out definitely on our website or come down to the shelter this weekend.
Dogshome.com.
Dogshome.com. That is right. Right now, Mike Posner with Cooler Than Me. Coming up, we're going to be chatting all about therapy dogs and meeting some of the therapy dogs that we know and we love and that we have. And we think we've just had a very special guest enter the building as well, Alan. Today, we are talking all things pet therapy, so animal assistant therapy as well. Now, we do want to hear from you. If you have any experience with this, let us know. You can SMS 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au. Now, there are quite a few benefits to therapy dogs and cats as well. And Alan, what are some of them?
Well, it's been proven that therapy dogs can impact the release of good chemicals in the brain. So that's things like release of dopamine, which is associated with reward and motivation, like the feeling you get after you've exercised. And oxytocin, which is a chemical that impacts bonding, which can be lacking in people within those clinical settings who might not have regular contact with friends or family. Proven links in the reduction of cortisol levels as well, which is a minimum, which indicates minimization of stress.
Now, as we sort of come more and more into understanding this sort of relationship between pets and people, we start to see more and more things popping up with animal assisted therapy. So there's been dogs in the US that sort of universities during study times will actually get like rooms of dogs where people can go and just de-stress, play with the dogs, that kind of thing.
And I remember being involved in a scheme back in the UK where they had dogs in classrooms, and they actually found that the kids didn't always interact with the dogs. They just had them in the corner, and they found that when the dogs were in the classrooms, the kids were calmer, they were more focused, they learnt better, and they looked forward to the periods when they could play with the dog and interact with the dog. And that was a really interesting scheme back then.
I have a friend who's a school teacher in Victoria, and she takes her dog to school as well. There's also programs where kids will actually read to the dogs. So some kids might find it a bit difficult to read to people, and so they read to the dogs instead, because obviously the dog is sitting there non-judgmental and they can really learn how, and it helps them with their vocabulary.
And they think they're going to make mistakes, but
The dog doesn't mind. They don't know what they're saying. I've actually seen programs where kids come in to shelters as well and read to the shelter dogs because then you've got that dual action benefit. So you've got the benefit for the kids, helping them out to learn to read, and the de-stress for the shelter dogs as well. So it's been proven that that happens too. Now, there's dogs and cats that work with children with developmental disabilities, so speech and hearing difficulties. They act as a non-judgmental audience as they work through their own therapy while providing socialisation to the animals as well. So the kids are sort of getting that socialisation and that experience with animals all around them at all those times as well.
So it works both ways. And it's not just kids. There was a study conducted in the US where stockbrokers were randomly assigned to adopt a pet dog or cat. Those with the pets ended up with lower blood pressure and stress levels than those who were not assigned a pet. So that's worth remembering.
That is pretty interesting. And did you know, Alan, that in, I think it's Japan, there are a few things that they call cat cafes.
I have seen them. Yes.
Seen the cat cafes? Basically, obviously with a high density population area, not everyone can have pets. So they have things called cat cafes, which are just cafes that are filled with cats. So businessmen and everything like that can just go down, help some de-stress, you know, increases those cortisol levels, increases the oxytocin, and really helps them de-stress and take that environment out. It's really interesting.
It is. I've seen pictures of it.
Yeah. And, you know, you've got the purring of cats as well, really provides that level of comfort as well. Not just for them, but for the cats too. Now, Alan, a cat's purr has been proven to sort of reduce their own heartbeat, their heart rate as well, hasn't it?
I think it has. There's something about the low frequency that it's just very calming for them and very calming for us.
And it helps them heal broken bones and everything like that. We did see a cat in the shelter recently who had broken a front paw, I think it was, and purred a lot, purred constantly whilst he had that broken paw.
Getting fixed.
Yeah, while it was getting fixed. Now, a range of animals are used in the holistic treatment of physical, mental, and developmental illnesses as well, including schizophrenia, depression, anxiety disorders, eating disorders, attention deficit disorder, and autism. So there are quite a wide range of therapy dogs out there. You know, a lot of us would think and remember about guide dogs, about, you know, sort of hearing dogs, that kind of thing. Well, some people might not know that hearing dogs exist as well. But we don't often think of dogs and cats for mental illnesses. But there are therapy dogs, certified therapy dogs, that not only are with these people constantly, but also go into facilities like aged care facilities, hospitals and that kind of stuff as well. And that is what we are going to be talking about today. Now, coming up after this, we are going to be hearing from Elena, who is the volunteer coordinator at the Lost Dogs Home. Elena runs programs with people living with disabilities who come down to the shelter, walk our shelter dogs. So there's a combined benefit there as well.
Hi, this is Nicola Charles from Neighbours, and you're listening to Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9. Joy 94.9.
The freshest sounds from around the world.
This is Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. Now, earlier on in the week, I caught up with Elena, volunteer coordinator at the home, who runs a program that teams up with those living with disabilities and with shelter dogs as well. Here at the Lost Dogs Home, we run quite a real worthwhile program, teaming up shelter dogs with people living with a disability, and we see that it has such a great impact. Today, we're speaking with our volunteer program coordinator, Elena, about the program that's making a difference to so many people and dogs. Now, Elena, thanks for joining us on Pets Allowed today. Tell us a bit about the program. How did it start, and how long has it been running here at the Lost Dogs Home?
Okay, so the program started on a casual trial and error type basis about 7 to 8 years ago. Officially, the program's been running for about nearly 4 years now, and just by the community and people really wanting to support and help the Lost Dogs Home, and since then it's just growing, you know, on a day-to-day basis, and every day we're getting people wanting to, you know, inquire about volunteering, and it's just booming.
What type of activities do the people come in and do with the dogs, and how often do they visit?
So we have our normal, you know, on a daily basis, we have volunteers that come in just to spend some time with the animals, walk the dogs, interact with the dogs. Then we do have our community groups, so carers coming in supporting people with maybe either mental health or with disabilities. They come in usually allocated shifts on a weekly basis to fortnightly basis, again spending about an hour with these dogs, walking the dogs, interacting with the dogs. It's not only really a therapy for the people that do participate, but also for the animals as well.
So with the therapy situation, what do you think that the clients that come take away from this type of interaction with the dogs?
What I find the takeaway is a big decrease in anxiety. So it really does decrease the anxiety levels that people suffer from. Depression, it really does almost bring a lot of positivity into their lives, even if it is an hour of their week spending time with these dogs. I see the happiness it brings. Not only that, it improves their confidence, so they're more outgoing than what they would normally be in maybe a day-to-day, their day-to-day life. And just overall, I think it just brings overall support and positivity to these community groups.
Now, there are quite a lot of animals at the shelter, quite a lot of dogs. Are there certain dogs that you will choose for these kind of interactions? And what characteristics do you think are best for those dogs?
Okay, so I guess the way we sort of go about selecting or choosing these dogs would be animals that are probably more subdued, animals that aren't as boisterous or too active, because you do find that dogs that are quite loud and reactive, a lot of the participants can't handle the noise and it does increase their stress level. So we're wanting to choose a dog that is quite calm and easy for these people coming along to walk and spend time with. So
we've talked about the benefits for the people that are coming and doing this type of animal-based therapy. What about the dogs? How do they react after the sessions? What are they like? What is their demeanour like? Are they calmer?
So the animals, they are definitely much more calm than previously, than prior to being walked. I do find that they're more settled, they're a lot more content, and just, if anything, they benefit just as much from the walk as do the volunteers that come in. So you do find after the walk they have calmed down quite a lot, because obviously being in adoption's quite a noisy environment can be also stressful for the animals. So after their walk they are a lot more content and quiet and satisfied.
That was our volunteer coordinator, Elena, from the Lost Dogs Home, talking about the home's disability program, so a pet therapy program happening at the home as well, and the impact that pairing people up with sheltered dogs has on their sort of well-being and their health as well. It sort of shows that really great bond between humans and animals. Now, coming up, we are going to hear from our very special guest, Marilyn, who is in studio at the moment with her little therapy dog named Bobby. He is a lovely little Maltese, and we'll get some photos up on the Joy Facebook and onto the Lost Dogs Home Facebook page as well. You can find all those at joy.org.au. Right now, Ricky Lee with Can't Sing a Different Song. This is Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. This is a very special show today. We are talking all about therapy dogs. Now, it is 26 minutes to one. We have the lovely Marilyn Butler in the studio with us today and her very talented dog, Bobby. They are a client of the Lost Dogs Home Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic, and Bobby is also a Delta therapy dog. So each week they take the time out to visit residents at aged care homes together. Thank you for coming into Pets Allowed today, Marilyn.
Thank you.
Very much appreciate you coming down, and for Bobby as well. He's looking lovely in his little Delta Society bandana and everything.
He enjoyed the walk through the park.
I bet he did.
So tell us exactly how you and Bobby became involved with visiting the elderly.
About 7 years ago, through an acquaintance, I learnt about the Delta Society. Mm-hmm. She was quite involved and had a golden retriever. Mm-hmm. That was just this beautiful, calm dog, and she was talking about the weekly trips that she'd mm-hmm. take, and I'd also at the same time started thinking about volunteering myself for something, and so it was a nice fit where I could mm-hmm. volunteer mm-hmm. and bring Bob along where he could add benefit and we could do it together, because I was working at that stage, actually I was working full time and then I went down to part time, so it worked out quite well. And that's basically how it was, because I felt that it was something that he could actually bring a lot of joy to, and I suppose it made me feel quite good too when I walk out of the place every sort of Wednesday afternoon.
Now, you got involved with the Delta Society. So can you take us through, what does that mean for Bobby? What did he have to do? What's a Delta dog?
Okay. The Delta Society started... probably 10, 15 years ago, I'd say. Don't quote me on that. And there's about 900 teams now. Oh, there's about 14. Huge. Yeah, I didn't realise it was that many, because when I joined, there was probably about 300 or 400. So there's been a huge increase. There's about 14 branches around Australia. I think there's one out in Geelong as well. But the best thing would be to people to get online, just deltasociety.com.au,
I believe it is.
And they could have a look there. What there is a whole, there's a set of questions. And if you basically answer yes to all of them that your dog can do, that's first step. And then I picked up the phone and spoke with them and explained a little bit more about Bobby and me. And they answered some more questions. Don't ask me what they were. It was 7 years ago. And then what happened was Bobby and I did an assessment. So we went off to a park with probably, I don't know, maybe 10 other teams.
Okay.
And we went through a whole lot of different things. So I had to tell him to sit. He had to stay. He had to walk past food. Mm-hmm. He had to be sort of patted very clumsily. He had to be yelled at. I had to leave the room and he had to stay calm with someone. He had people walking towards him with sticks, as in walking sticks and frames. There were kids as well, because at that stage, and it is still, the assessment is a general assessment. So it's not fine-tuned for just elderly or just kids, or it's a holistic assessment. And he passed that.
How did he take to it to start off with? Was he freaked out, or?
Look, he's a fairly laid back sort of dog. Mm-hmm. So if I tell him to come, it depends on how he's feeling. So if I've always got, and you're allowed to, you can have treats with you.
Yeah.
And so as long as I've got a little liver treat or something like that, I've got no problems, he comes. But he doesn't run.
Okay,
he still does it in his own time. Yeah, he does it in his own time. But look, he's really good. People pick him up and he just sits there. He doesn't squirm. He's not used to sort of being kissed and all that sort of stuff. And the elderly like doing that. And he just sits there and takes it all in.
Now, you decided to visit the elderly. You go to an aged care facility every week. Mm-hmm. What was your decision-making process? Why did you choose that?
Okay. Main two reasons. At that stage, Bobby wasn't really exposed to a lot of little children, so I really didn't know how he'd go. They're much more boisterous.
Much less predictable as well.
Yeah, probably. And he was used to, because I could see him with my grandmother and other elderly, that he's just happy to sit. And,
that was his thing.
Yeah, that was him. That's just him, and still is. Even now, he sort of takes little kids with him. The only thing he's worked at is they actually drop food, and that's a good little thing to be around.
So how do the residents react when Bobby visits them? Do you think he makes a difference to their day?
Yeah. Look, even those that have quite severe dementia who don't remember him from 1 week to the next, I know that for those sort of five-ish minutes that I'm one-on-one with them, they talk about the animals that they had. I hear the same story a lot, but it's just great to hear them. Now and again, they'll talk about something that's new to us, and you just see that they're great. There's one lady. So I'm currently at Assisi, which is in Rosanna. It's an elderly nursing home set up for predominantly the Italian population, and I speak Italian.
Okay.
And so that's fitted in quite nicely, because I can actually converse with a lot of these people. And
It's sad when people have had animals all their lives.
And that's where it is.
And they can't have them anymore.
Yeah. And so that's the story. Like, there's one gentleman especially that as soon as he sees Bobby, he comes running. He's only on a walking stick, and he comes running around because he says, "Oh, just like my Matilda." and he's only just been there for probably 6 months, and he had to give Matilda up. Because one of the things is, a lot of nursing homes have tried to have animals, and look, it's not great because either everyone feeds them or no one feeds them. With dogs, everyone tries to walk them and then no one walks them.
I suppose one of the things that we always say is really important with dogs is it's really important to have a routine. And in that sort of environment with so many people, it's very difficult to have that routine.
So look, Bob, there's one lady there who shakes constantly.
Yeah.
And as soon as Bobby is near her, she stops shaking.
Wow.
And her daughters, because she's visited a lot by her daughters, say that it's just incredible. They've never, I think she's been in there for about 6-7 years.
Yeah.
They have never seen her so calm.
Mm.
But again, that's sort of, and I normally stay with her a little bit longer.
So it is that calming effect that Bobby has.
It's amazing.
With her.
It's amazing. The previous nursing home that I'd go to, there was a gentleman there who was quite emotional most of the time. So whether it was crying or anger, but there was huge, and it was always he couldn't be controlled. He was in one of those sort of extended wheelchairs, so he was like more like in a bed that they'd used to wheel him around. I'd pop Bobby on his lap and we'd go for walks around the corridors, mm-hmm. and he was as calm as could be.
That's incredible.
Mm-hmm. So it is, and this hasn't happened to me, but there's stories amongst the other teams that when the dogs are put near a lot of the elderly talk to them and open up a lot more and say, you know, I've got this pain here, or I've got... Whereas the nurses and stuff can't get them to say that sort of stuff.
I think it's really a lot of... My partner used to work in aged care, and people are very aware of physical ailments that elderly people often have, but actually they suffer from quite a lot of depression as well, just because, I suppose, because of life stage and not being able to communicate, and I suppose that's where it comes in.
Yeah. Look, it's 5 minutes of happiness, in a sense, a week, and a lot of them, unfortunately, don't get a lot of visitors.
Yeah.
So to have that one-on-one, and it's quite tactile, where he's forever being patted, and, you know, they want to feed him Tim Tams, and... so I am getting better, because one of the things too, I don't want him to get too many treats.
Yeah.
But I do remember to bring his little bottle with his little liver treats, and they give it to
him. Are you the only person who visits that particular home? So you, okay. Yeah.
Marilyn, are you all right to just, if we take a bit of a break and we'll come back to chatting a bit more about it? No worries. This is Pets Aloud with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9. The freshest sounds from around the world.
Pets Aloud on Joy 94.9.
Welcome back to Pets Aloud. Today we are talking all about therapy animals. We do want to hear from you. You can SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email onair@joy.org.au if you have any experience with any sort of pet therapy or anything like that. Now, we do have a very special guest in the studio. We've got Marilyn Butler here with her dog, Bobby. Now, Bobby is a therapy dog, which we've been talking about. He does visit aged care facilities as well. Now, Marilyn, why do you think Bobby is so good at this? It's just who he is.
It's just him. Yeah. Look, he's just relaxed. He's normally quite just a relaxed dog. You pick him up and he doesn't squirm around. He just sort of looks at you with these big brown eyes and sometimes sort of says, you know, I've sort of had enough. But it's not that he growls or barks or anything like that.
It's quite interesting. You said your friend had a golden retriever, and it's quite interesting thinking about a big dog going into that sort of situation, but that's fine. They're quite happy with that.
Yeah. Look, a lot of, especially the bigger dogs in the hospitals, it's great because what they do is they just go up to the beds and they just pop their heads on the beds.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're the right height.
They're the right height. So that works out really, really well. There's such a huge mix of types of you know, there's pure breeds, there's, you know, little mutts like Bobby, there's, you know, young, old. One of the things that happens is, so you get the initial assessment, and then every 2 years you've got to be reassessed, because one of the things, dogs change.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.